Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you this morning to our Monday morning edition as we start a brand new week. And in this brand new week that we starting our online Bible school, we're going to be sharing with you a new lesson. It's still under, you know, the theme of the year is Awaken to Righteousness. So we're still talking about righteousness, our right standing that we have with God. But we're using righteousness as a place where you start, a place where you have obtained this right to be empowered by the grace of God. And so righteousness is what? Righteousness is a gift that give us this boldness, that give us this confidence, that give us this assurance, because Jesus was raised, not only died for our sin, but he was raised from the dead after he spoiled principalities and power, and made an opening show of them. And we'll be talking about that as weeks, you know, in this lesson, weeks to come. But as we start this new week and this new lesson on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is so vital to your to all of our mandate as a believer to walk in the light of these truths and to understand that the purpose of the Holy Spirit, if you don't get nothing else out of this lesson, get this. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that it can help you to receive the mind of Christ. In other words, you already have the mind of Christ, but then you have your mind. We have one spirit that is born of God. It has the Holy Spirit in it. But I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, whereby it will be able to do what? To transform my mind so that what is true, what is real, what is alive in my spirit, I can make what is on the printed pages that is true and make it alive in my heart, so that what is in my spirit, what is on this printed page, which is the Bible, or your little tablet or phone, iPhone, it is real. It is just as real in my heart. And so Proverbs 23:7 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you are what you think, okay? So if that is the case, then the Holy Spirit is here to help me to think in the light of the truth I have embraced. John 8:32 said, and Jesus spoke, saying, and you shall know the truth. I mean, if you're going to continue in my word, and be my disciple, he said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must do what? Number one, continue in my word. Notice he said disciple. See, and it's a wonderful thing to get people saved, to get people to come to know the Lord. I think that's such an absolute to all of us, to know that someone has come in, have witnessed, have tasted the glorious light of being born again. You come from darkness unto light. Good morning, Brother Joy. And because you come from darkness unto light, now we don't want you to be left out there to yourself, because there are still spiritual wolves, I call them principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness that will still come against your mind because you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, or you don't understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help renew your mind to the new life that you have received in Christ. Let me say that to you again. It's a wonderful thing to be born again. And I think before any of this take place, you have to be born again. But once you are born again, you need a place where you can be discipled. And the best place I know for any person to be discipled is start out in church, where the body of believers gathered, where there are teaching classes, where there are Bible school in those churches or whatnot. I think, you know, all of our churches should have some type of Bible school, some type of learning classes that we continue to learn. Why? Because the people have to be discipled. And that's why Jesus said in John 8:31, that if you continue to be my disciple, you have to, first of all, continue in my word. And he said, then you shall be my disciple. He said, the truth you know would be the truth that make you free. In other words, the truth that you have experienced. You can't experience the truth about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ on your own. None of us can. We were not created that way. So we all need someone to teach us. And so, because Jesus is the head of the church, what he does, he draws us by his spirit into the right place where we need to be. Sometimes through influence, you listening to a person, or you just being somewhere in the natural, and all of a sudden you have, you know, because you have this cry in your heart, then the Holy Spirit will lead you in a conversation around a person, and then all of a sudden, what's he doing? He's connecting you to a place of learning. Every believer, once you have been converted from darkness to light, you need a place to be discipled. And God will have a pastor for all of his people. Now, some of you may be in a place where you don't have a church. You can't, you know, you don't have a place to go. Well, then lessons like this on Facebook or maybe on YouTube is good for you at the moment, but God desired that you have someone that you can sit under, that you can grow in that grace. Amen. And so that's my opening dialogue to you. But again, let's welcome you this morning by saying, making our faith confession. So say it out loud with me. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Remember, I said good morning to you, and we're starting a new lesson on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This will be a very lengthy one, just like we talked about the book of Romans, but we've only got through Romans chapter 6, and the Lord has done that on purpose, and we'll jump back in the book of Romans as he lead me to do chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 up to verse to chapter 12. And so, but let's take this opportunity here and understand the function, you know, the reasoning we have the Holy Spirit, the reason for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about the functioning of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about, first of all, everyone that's born of God have received the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to put you in a place of thinking that, you know, if you don't pray in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. No, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, but once you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, then it's the Holy Spirit that brought you to a place of conceiving. And when you heard the gospel and you were convicted in your heart, then what you did, conversion took place through the power of the through the confession of your mouth and the belief of your heart. Your mouth has to be active in receiving all of God's good. Let me say that to you again. Your mouth has to be active in receiving all of God's good. Number two, once one is born again, then the next application here should be that you should be filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll be talking about that as days go come along, but Jesus, even though the disciples operated under the ministry, the anointing of Jesus himself from a physical aspect. And so Jesus empowered them because he had the fullness of the Spirit in him. Remember when, and this is what I want to open up with in Matthew chapter 3, where John baptized Jesus with the Holy Ghost when he baptized him, Jesus received the heavens open up. John, the Bible said, John saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove, a bodily dove in his body. So it wasn't a dove. The heavens opened up in the shape the way as the fullness of the Spirit descended into Jesus. And from that point on, Jesus was now empowered by God with the fullness of the Spirit to do what? To cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to cause the blind to see, to cleanse the leper, that, you know, those who were oppressed, to set the captives free, you know, those who were poor, to give them wealth and riches. Well, what are we saying to you? When you have the fullness of the Spirit on the inside of you, then you're at a place where you can meet the need of mankind regardless of what it is. Let me say that to you again. When you have the fullness of the Spirit at work in you and I, then you are able to meet the need of mankind regardless of what they are. If it's financially, you are there to help. If it's physically, you are there to help. If it's mentally, you are there to help. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit in you. You have to remember it's He who does the work. So when I say it's He, it's the Holy Ghost Himself that you and I have to become comfortable with. We have to become one with Him. In other words, we're going to have to let Him do the triumphant over my thought life, over my emotions, over my feelings, my intellect. We're going to have to allow Him to be over my traditions. Okay? Why? Because Matthew said, not only just Matthew, but Mark, and I quote it often, Mark 7:13 said, the only way the word of God to be made of no effect would be what? Through your tradition. One translation say through your unbelief. And that is rightly so. Why? Because your tradition or your unbelief puts you in a place of saying, you know, because you still have control of your own mindset. So that's why it takes the power. You first of all, hearing the word, and faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing how? By hearing and hearing until what? Understanding comes. Well, that's the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. Bringing understanding, a spiritual understanding to a spiritual truth, so that you and I will fix our mind in the light of the Holy Spirit, revealing truth, revealing understanding about this new life that I have embraced. When you recognize this new life and that this revelation, knowledge of understanding of these spiritual truths did not come from your own natural intellect, but it came through the infilling of the Spirit of Christ that's in you. Now, again, I'm not talking about being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost as of yet, even though I'm preluding to the fact, but you have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal any spiritual truth to you. So you're going to have some spiritual light, some spiritual enlightenment, some spiritual understanding because you are born of God. And so because you are born of God, that is the operation of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. We know what we're saying, Christ in you. Well, that Christ in you, that's the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the power, is the empowerment of the Holy Ghost that is at work within you. And through that empowerment, it is what? It is so that you can carry out the Christian life, the kingdom of God, the God way of doing, the God way of thinking. in every aspect. When you and I position yourself to think in light of the spiritual truth, then Mary, the same question Mary said, knowing that in Luke 1, whereas she knew that she could not conceive a child without being touched by a man. Now listen to this carefully. And the angel is presenting to her a way of conceiving without being touched by a man. When the Holy Spirit, God used Gabriel to minister to Mary exactly what he was saying. It was coming from the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that ministered to Gabriel is the same Spirit that lives inside of you and I now. When the angel came to Mary, he was only able to answer these questions, well, to foretell what was taking place and to answer all of her questions with an assurity that gave her a confidence, that gave her a boldness to step out on something that she know in her physical mindset, the way God created for male and female to bring forth a child. God gave her a boldness, gave her a confidence through the word that Gabriel had spoke, and she received that. She said, "How shall this be?" And that's the same thing that some of you may be asking. This question been asked for a long time, you know. Why should I speak in tongues? Why should I speak in something that I can't understand? How can I receive something that doesn't make any sense to my mind? Well, you are in the same boat. We all were in the same boat that Mary was in. So it's not a crazy question that you ask. It's not something that, you know, that's not real, because it is real. But once the answer comes to you, you should be asking with what? With an understanding that I'm asking to understand. I'm asking because, this is messing with me. I want to know. Not to be asking in a way filled with doubt, filled with unbelief, but a way of conceiving, a way of understanding what is being said. And so Mary said, "How should this be, seeing that I don't know a man?" And then Gabriel didn't know what to say. Let me just show you the power of the Holy Ghost, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, show you its attribute, because I'm talking to you about it. Let's just go there. I'm just being led by the Spirit of God. I wanted to open up with something else, but you remember, he's the teacher of this class. So go with me to Luke chapter 1. And let's start here at verse 26. I'm hearing the Lord telling me to go back a little bit further here. Let's start here with verse 5. Let's talk about the birth of John the Baptist being foretold in the same light. Now, what we're going to see here, Zechariah did not receive the word that the angel gave to him in the same likeness that Mary did. But both got the result, because John the Baptist ministry, the purpose of John's birth, notice what I say, the purpose of John's birth was to foretell the ministry or the coming of the Messiah. John's whole being was to present the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth. That was his purpose, was to announce the Messiah that the world been waiting on, that they've been hearing about for years and years upon thousands of years. And here it is, John is the one that get to introduce the Savior of the world. And his parent or his father almost aborted the vision, the word of the Lord. So God himself, through the ministering angel, had to make him dumb. In other words, had to shut his mouth, because remember, we live in a word-activated world. And if Zechariah would have spoken something, continue along the line contrary to the word that God, the promise that God made, then Zechariah could have held that promise from coming to pass. It was the same thing like Jairus' daughter. When Jairus wanted Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus was on the way, but then one of the directors of his house met Jesus on the way and told the director there's no need for Jesus to come. Now listen, I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit right here, even though we hadn't really dug into the scripture yet, but I want to give you some background, something you can go back to. Now you can look at this in Mark 5:21 through 40 here, what I'm talking about, Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. But over here in Luke 1, starting at verse 5, through verse 34 is talking about Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. So here, Jairus, director came from his house to tell him, there is no need for you to trouble the master. See, this is how people will see you in the natural. This is how they saw Jesus. Excuse me, remember, you know, Jesus would look just, he didn't have nothing appealing about him. He didn't have no royal features. He didn't have no royal place. He didn't have none. Why? Because he knew he was here temporary. Okay. But Jesus did not let Jairus speak. When you go back and read this, starting at verse 35, Mark chapter 5, when you go back and reading this, you will notice that Jairus did not speak, but Jesus spoke up. And the reason why, because notice this, the reason that Jesus spoke up, it was because he did not want Jairus' faith to be nullified. Remember, Jairus was the one that came to get Jesus. Jesus didn't go to get him. Jairus was the one that came to get him. And because Jairus was the one to come to get him, Jesus came along with him for his daughter. One translation, they say his daughter was already dead. But in Luke's account, and starting at verse 49 in that Classic Amplified, it said, do not be seized or alarmed or struck with fear. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Believe in me that I'm able to do this, and she shall live. So Jairus didn't speak, but Jesus spoke, and Jairus went right along with Jesus. And you know at the end of this, verse 51 and 52, that Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. What am I saying to you? This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus received. This is the same ministry that when John baptized Jesus and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove, a bodily dove, he was led into the wilderness to be what? Tempted and tested by the devil. In other words, it's like whatever you and I buy a product, it's tested, it's tried, to make sure that before it's put on the market, it doesn't mean all the defects will be out, but before it's put on the market, it has to have passed some type of standard test. And then they give you a guarantee if something goes wrong, such and such, then they will honor it. They will back it up because all the while they're perfecting their product. Well, I'm just trying to get you to see that when you and I take trust in the Word of God, you can't fail. Now watch this. Look at this for a moment. As we go in the book of Luke and look at verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, and of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, isn't that something? Walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, notice it didn't say sinless. You know, it said blameless. Blameless just simply mean they didn't quit. Blameless just simply mean I'm going to walk in the integrity of what you say. Even though I'm frail, even though I miss it, even though I don't, you know how I am, and we're going to see how Zechariah is. So, but the scripture right here said, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that they walk before God in the ordinance and the commandments of the Lord blameless. All right? Watch this. And that's the same thing about you and I. We're not perfect, but we can walk before the Lord blameless, meaning we can walk in the integrity of that which he called us to. Because sometimes we allow the sin, the places we've been, we allow a condemned nature or a condemned mindset to put us in a place of what? A place of I'm not worthy. Well, number one, no, we already know we're not worthy, but Christ's death, his resurrection, the spoiling of principalities and powers and rules made me worthy. So because Christ made me worthy by me receiving him as the Lord of my life, then I no longer should have the attitude, I'm not worthy, I'm just so unworthy. Nope, the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you were worthy, you were made worthy. And that's Colossians 1:13. So you are worthy. You have to change your mindset. You have to stop looking at yourself through the lenses or the mirror of reflection like a natural mirror. You have to use the Word of God that said you are worthy. And if it says you are worthy, then you have to adapt that. Even though your feelings may not line up with it, I mean, people around you may hear you say, I know you're not worthy. You know you're not worthy. I know what this is. See, they're judging you from a natural perspective. They can't see your spirit has been transformed, been changed. They can't see that you passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. But it's going to take our behavior. It's going to take our speech. It's going to take our outward mannerism, that now what is in me is now displayed on me in a certain light. And people will begin to know he's not the same person. You could hear it. You could see it. I mean, you could sense something coming off of him. See, people can see that. They can sense that. But if you and I were still living under the same old whatever, people could also sense that. They would know that. Because spirit to spirit. Okay? And so here, as we go on, notice this. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were well stricken in years. Now, Elizabeth was barren, but don't look at the barren and say, well, she's under curse. No, her barrenness may have been for the proper time and season of bringing forth this child that God had already prophesied that she would do. This, her son would be the one. Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Spirit carrying John. Now, you think that's something. Think about that for a moment. And we'll talk about that as we go on. But notice this. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, the order of his course. And according to the custom of the priest's office, Notice this, his lot was to burn incense that he went into the temple of the Lord. In other words, he had to have incense burnt for him. He had to do his priestly thing before he went in. Just because he was the high priest did not mean he could just enter into that holy place. Watch this. And while the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Why? This is where he was. This would be like the altar. See, our altar here that we have is before Jesus. You can have an altar anywhere in the world. You can perform an altar anywhere. Where's that altar? That altar is a place where you just surrender. That altar is a place where you just made things right. You could be in a jail cell. You can be in a mental ward. You can be in a hospital bed. You could be in a poverty-stricken neighborhood, a place without light. You could see, it don't make the difference where you, it's what's coming forth out of your heart. Once a truth has been revealed to you, once something has been made alive to you, spiritually speaking, then all of a sudden, everything that I mentioned, whether it's a mental issue, whether it was a poverty, rundown, stricken area, whatever the nature of the case, all of that will start changing. Because why? Now, you have the life of God that just entered in, and it will change your environment. Amen? Watch this. And it said in verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and he fell and fear and fell upon him. Fear fell upon him. And watch this. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, look, the same thing that the angel here is appearing to John, to Zechariah, is the same angel that going to appear to Mary. Now, we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember what the angel said? Your prayer has been heard. In other words, Elizabeth been believing God, Zechariah also, for a child. And then, not only this, but Zechariah did not name the child after him. Zechariah named the child after what the Holy Spirit told him, the angel of God told him. John, one of his name, is a forerunner. A forerunner of what? Introducing again the ministry of the Messiah, the ministry of the Savior of the world. Watch this. And he said, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. Can you see the specific here? I believe if we begin to really, you really want to be empowered by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, take time and listen to what he's saying to you. Because he's the one, the third part of the Godhead, that is here with us now. The Father is not here physically. Jesus is not here physically. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is here with us now. Not only with us, but in us that are born again. Amen. Watch this. And he said, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Wow. And he shall be a priest. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Wow. See, John had to be filled. See, this was a minute, notice, the ministry of, where we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we see now that before God manifests himself in a physical form, we see that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, got into the womb of Mary by the word that the angel spoke. And notice this, he said, this hadn't happened yet, but the angel is preluding her to the fact what is getting ready to take place. Why, well, notice it, why did John need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because he's getting ready to bring forth the Lord of Lords. And you can't do that under your own strength, because there are spiritual forces that's going to come against you when you get ready to introduce anything that is of the kingdom of God. Anything that's right from wrong, light of darkness, there's going to always be a fight from the dark side. Why? Because that part we all was conceived in. The light of life through the word of God is what we have to receive to overcome that dark world, that darkness that was in our lives through one man transgression, the first Adam. Okay, now watch this. He said, and he should have joy, gladness. Well, that tell you what you and I should have once you are filled with the Spirit of God. You should have joy, you should have gladness, right? And notice this, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And that's why John came preaching, repent. That means turn around, change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was the foreteller. Watch this. And he shall go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient in the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and notice it, and my wife is well stricken in years. Now he just told him how this is going to happen. Look at the doubt just come in. This is what happened when, the angel, as far as I'm concerned, Gabriel, the angel already made known to him that, him and his wife would come together. He also told him that the child is going to be by the Spirit of God. The name of that child is going to be named John, and he should be filled with joy. He should be filled with gladness. He should be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb of his mother. So here, Zechariah has what it takes to produce. First of all, Elizabeth, a woman, he being a man. The two of them, male and female, can come together and bring conception, right? Now watch this. Verse 19. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand before the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that the thing which shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That's why, see, the minister of the Holy Spirit here had to, the angel of God had to shut him up, because the word of God has already been prophesied, has already been spoken, not just now, but this is hundreds of years before this was already prophesied. You go back in the book of Zechariah, but even Isaiah, these things were already spoken. And the season and the time for them to come to pass is now. And so when time showed up, it's like you praying for something, believing God for a change. And when it shows up, you're not ready for it. You're not expecting it. You say, oh, no, no, no. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So what God had to do here, he had to shut him up because it was already prophesied that it will come through this way. And notice this. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And notice this. And perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the day of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now notice this, even though he could not speak, even though conception was not made, after he finished his ministration in that as a priest performing in that altar as a priest, he went home and notice it, though he couldn't speak, but him and Elizabeth come together and brought forth that which the angel said. Watch this. And she hid herself. And notice this. Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Wow. Can you see that? Look at this. Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to do what? To take away the reproach among men. And notice this, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, notice this, went from God to the city of Galilee. Now, John is 6 months already in the making before Jesus come about. Now the angel sent from God again, and we'll pick the story up about Elizabeth when she conceived, and then we'll talk about the ministry, how Jesus was introduced into the world through the word. Jesus already existed. He is the word of God. But Mary had a different response than what Zechariah gave. Zechariah was made dumb where he couldn't speak so that he didn't violate the promise, the word of God, even though he made known to him in the same likeness that he made known to Mary. But Mary exercised faith to believe what the angel said. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? What am I saying to you? Every believer is not going to conceive in the same light about miracles, about it's possible that if you had autoimmune problem in your immune system, if you had issues with your lungs, breathing apparitions in your lungs, if you have blindness in your eyes and you're just thinking that it's because you're getting old or because of some degenerate whatever nerve or cell in your body. Well, let me say this to you. The purpose of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to empower you, to let you know that God has already redeemed you and I from the curse of the law, and he has put you and I in place of position that you can do what? Can make an announcement to cataract, make an announcement to deafness, make an announcement to if you think that you have the fear of Alzheimer's or dementia, that these things you can make an announcement to your mind, to your brain, to the chemicals in your pancreas, you know, that you say, no, my body produced the right amount of chemical in my body. In my brain, my eyes are strong at the age of whatever you are to the age that I'll be 120. My eyes will be strong. My mind will be alert. My heart will be receptive to the things of the kingdom of God. And I will live in this physical body without pain, without germs, destroying it in the name of Jesus. Now, you're not making that confession the same way Zechariah was shut off. But now this is an act of our will. See, you could just say, I don't believe none of that, what he just said. Because you could look at the history where this person died of that, my grandma died of this and that and that. You know, we all got to die of something. No, we don't. We could just lay down and give up the Spirit of God when we complete and just leave the earth. That's possible. But it's not through your strength. It's not through your might. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost that you and I possess within us. If you're not filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you can be if you want to. Amen. Look, my time is up and gone. We're going to pick this up again tomorrow in Luke chapter 1 and dealing with the subject of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that if you do have doubts of any kind, put them on this display here, and we can talk about it if you choose to, or if you want me, you want to just text me privately and say, would you speak about this? Would you give clarity about this in your lesson when you talk about the Holy Spirit? We don't have to have your name or whatnot. I'll address it, because as a teacher to you, I believe that I should be in that place to make sure that you understand. Well, it's not just me, but it's the power of the Holy Ghost in me, giving me this way of making you understand, because your heart is receptive to these truths. So I want you to know we love you. This is the beginning of a new week, beginning of a new lesson. And I look forward to the end, which is coming at the 31st of this month. We have our annual Grace Conference a meeting that we do every year, and it will go from March 31st Sunday morning, which will be Easter or Resurrection Sunday morning. Then we go Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, close it out on our regular Bible school night, Wednesday night. And we want to invite you to sit in the Grace Conference, feeding on the Word of God, on God's grace, but then making an understanding that you must leave that conference with a response. So we'll lay hands upon the sick. We'll minister to those that may be demonically influenced, or whatever the nature of the case is. But again, all of these things only take place back because we do have an open door. This is the season of an open door. This is the appointed time, not just now. It has always been that. But I believe because more knowledge, more understanding of the truth of God's word has come forth, people are more open and more ready to step out by faith in the name of Jesus and receive. So if that's you and you love to be a part of our Grace Conference, it takes place March 31st, which will be on a Sunday morning. You are invited, and we will go April 1st through April 3rd. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. Thank you so much for joining me.